Good morning. It is a pleasure to welcome you on the second Sunday of Advent to worship at First Baptist Church. Thank you for joining us. As always, it's a special honor and privilege for us that people have come who are not normally part of this faith community. We love that this is so every Sunday. We welcome you in particular. You will find in your order of worship a card called a connection card. It is an opportunity for everyone, please, to register your attendance here. That goes in the offering plates at the end of the service. We'd be very, very grateful if everyone would fill that out. Announcements, as always, are in your white bulletin insert. I want to call your attention to two of them, and one I want especially to stress because the date on it has been changed. On the front of that insert, you'll see an announcement about our food drive for the High Cone housing community, which deadline was to be 2 weeks from today. However, Sue Ellen received word 2 days ago from the people in charge there that the deliveries are to happen a little earlier than we had earlier been told. We are asking for you to have your contributions in by 1 week from today, this coming Sunday. This is canned goods, food that is non-perishable, especially. Other items as well you will see listed. And one reason that this is an important offering that we make, a number of these households depend as part of their eating day to day and week to week, the free meals offered at school. And with school closed during so many days of the holidays, that food is simply not available. So as you're able, please give. It can be financial donations or food donations. And again, the deadline now is next Sunday, which happens also to be the deadline for other gifts of our sharing material goods. We, as you know, offer a meal on Tuesday evenings to low-income people in our community, many of them homeless people. And we provide, as the weather gets colder, warmer clothing. You'll see there in the announcements, I think that's on the inside of the sheet, the kind of clothing we're looking for. We would love to have those also by 1 week from today as we distribute them on the following Tuesday. Thank you for your attention to those announcements and to the others that are printed there. We are gathered for the worship of God. It is time then, in this season especially, to draw nearer to our own need and the world's need, to draw nearer also to our expectation of new gifts given from the love of God to us and through us for our world. Let us worship.
If you are able, please stand for the invocation. Let us pray. Dear Lord, we gather here today to worship you and celebrate your love. May the words we sing and say and the joy with which we come help all who gather to celebrate. As we come together, may those leading our worship help us to know that Jesus is here among us, blessing our gathering. Help us to see more clearly and to believe more deeply as Jesus makes himself known to us through every part of this service. Amen.
Amen.
Justice to the king.
Let him judge your people with righteousness.
Let the mountains bring peace to the people. Let the hills bring righteousness.
Let the king bring justice to people who are poor. Let him save the children of those who are in need.
Bless the Lord God, the God of Israel, the only one who does wondrous things.
Bless God's glorious name forever. Let God's glory fill all the earth. Amen
and amen.
Thank you.
Old Testament lesson is from Isaiah. A shoot shall come from the stock of Jesse, and a branch shall grow out of his roots. The Spirit of the Lord shall rest on him, the Spirit of wisdom and understanding, the Spirit of counsel and might, the Spirit of knowledge and the fear of the Lord. His delight shall be the fear of the Lord. He shall not judge by what his eyes see, or decide by what his ears hear. But with righteousness he shall judge the poor, and decide with equity for the meek of the earth. He shall strike the earth with the rod of his mouth, and with the breath of his lips he shall kill the wicked. Righteousness shall be the belt around his waist, and faithfulness the belt around his loins. The wolf shall live with the lamb, the leopard shall lie down with the kid, the calf and the lion and the fatling together, and a little child shall lead them. The cow and the bear shall graze, their young shall lie down together, and the lion shall eat straw with the ox. The nursing child shall play over the hole of the asp, and the weaned child shall put its hand on the adder's den. They will not hurt or destroy on my holy mountain, for the earth will be full of the knowledge of the Lord, as the waters cover the sea. On that day, the root of Jesse shall stand as a signal to the peoples. The nations shall inquire of him, and his dwelling shall be glorious. The word of the Lord.
Thank you.
Let us pray. Holy God, we are grateful for how this season recalls to our minds so much that is good. The truth of God with us in this world. The memories we have of loved ones in this season. And all the ways the season invites us to our more charitable and more worshipful selves. Yet for many, this is a painful season. For those already in grief or already too much alone, these days and nights are tinged with sadness. We pray for them and for ourselves if we are among them. Just as the Holy Child whom we celebrate came new into the world, may your best gifts now come in new ways to those who need you most. We pray for others now, for victims of wildfires in eastern Tennessee, for the native people at Standing Rock in North Dakota, for people everywhere who are afraid, for people who are angry, for all who hate, for all who are hated. We pray for ourselves that we shall always be people of compassion and kindness and moral courage. And now we pray for these. For Ellie Grapentine, Mervyn Ukarts, Jim Suits, Juanita Dieterle, Pat Hubel, Iris Martin, Wally Jordan, Saw Charlie, Logan Sweet, Marguerite Wright, Donnie Kassler, Danny and Diana Jones, John Wallace, Jim Terrace, Teresa Cady, Kay, Tom Wall, Valerie Nebbia, Elizabeth, Claudio Lima, David, Diana Lem, the patients and friends and family of Dr. Paula Davey. And now we offer our silent prayer. Bless all that follows now, be in what we think, be in what we feel, be in what we choose. Through our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.
Will you stand with me now for our gospel proclamation? This is the gospel according to Luke, the song of Zechariah, father to John the Baptist. Zechariah was filled with the Holy Spirit, and he prophesied, saying, "Blessed be the Lord God of Israel, for he has looked favorably on his people and redeemed them. He has raised up for us a mighty Savior in the house of his servant David. And he spoke through the mouth of his prophets from of old, saying that we would be saved from our enemies and from the hand of all who hate us. Thus he has shown mercy promised to our ancestors and has remembered his holy covenant, the oath that he swore to our ancestor Abraham, to grant us that we, being rescued from the hands of our enemies, might serve without fear in holiness and righteousness before him all our days. and you, child. You will be called the prophet of the Most High, for you will go before the Lord to prepare his ways, to give knowledge of salvation to his people by the forgiveness of their sins. By the tender mercy of our God, the dawn from on high shall break upon us to give light to those who sit in darkness and in the shadow of death, to guide our feet into the way of peace. The word of the Lord. You may be seated, and I invite the children forward for time as children with Miss Savella.
Hello again. Second Sunday of Advent. Anybody remember to count the candles? Oh!
No.
No time to do it now. Andrew and Lizzie, was it a surprise to come in and see all this? You knew what was going to be there because you knew what was Advent, right?
Yes.
Last week we talked about how important the candles and the symbol of light is when we're talking about Advent and the coming of Jesus. Light is a symbol of hope and peace and love, which Jesus came to bring to the world. Now, you have Advent wreaths at home, and you get to light two candles this afternoon or this evening. And when you light that candle, try to think how you can be light to somebody this Advent season. How you can help bring kindness and hope or peace to the world. Sometimes families get a lot of stress during the time before Christmas. How can you be a peaceful presence in your family? Think about that. If somebody's sad, how can you help them feel better? How can you be a light to somebody? Like all of our candles. Think about that. Let's say our prayer. God, we thank you for this Advent and this time to think about what Jesus brought to this world. Help us to make the world a better place too. Amen.
Thank you.
you pray with me? Lord, now may the words of my mouth and may the meditations of all of our hearts be acceptable in your sight. O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Have you ever had that dream where you are in distress and you need to scream for help? And you start to scream for help, and you open your mouth really wide, and nothing comes out. If you haven't had that dream, trust me, it is horrible. If you have had that dream, then you know exactly what a helpless feeling it is. At the very moment you most urgently need to make yourself heard, your voice simply disappears. Fortunately, it's just a dream, right? In fact, in some dreams, when that part happens and you try to scream and nothing comes out, that's when you actually realize I'm dreaming, and then you can wake up and everything is okay-ish. Poor old Zechariah. His muteness was not a dream. Do you remember what happened to him? Zechariah was a priest who was married to Elizabeth, who herself was a descendant of the very first priest, Aaron, brother of Moses. They were an old couple who had never had children because, as Luke tells us, Elizabeth could not conceive. One day, Zechariah was carrying out his priestly duties in the inner sanctuary of the temple while the rest of the congregation prayed outside the inner part of the sanctuary. While Zechariah was inside the inner sanctuary by himself lighting incense, the angel Gabriel appeared, and Zechariah was terrified. But the angel said the thing that angels always say, "Do not be afraid," which of course never works. And then he did the other thing that angels always seem to do, and he said an impossible thing. "Your prayer has been heard," he told Zechariah. "Your wife, Elizabeth, will bear you a son. And you will name him John. You will have joy and gladness, and many will rejoice at his birth, for he will be great in the sight of the Lord. And even before his birth, he will be filled with the Holy Spirit." And old Zechariah, thinking of his old wife Elizabeth, thought that was absolutely ludicrous. And he said to the angel, "How will I know that this is so? For I am an old man, and my wife is getting on in years." That's what it actually says. And the angel replied, "I am Gabriel. I stand in the presence of God, and I have been sent to speak to you and to bring you this good news. But now, because you did not believe my words, which will be fulfilled in their time, you will become mute, unable to speak, until the day these things occur." And that's exactly what happened. The people outside the sanctuary began to wonder what was taking so long in there. And when Zechariah finally did come out, he couldn't speak to them. And somehow they realized he must have had some kind of vision in the sanctuary. He kept motioning to them and remained unable to speak, but he finished out his service at the temple anyway, and then he went home. And before too long, his wife Elizabeth conceived, just as the angel had said. Luke tells us that she considered this a sign of God's favor on her, and she praised God. Luke doesn't tell us what she thought of her husband's 9-month silence. And Luke doesn't tell us what Zechariah thought either. But we can imagine, can't we? This man has devoted his entire life to the service of God. And one day, he actually has a divine encounter right there in the temple with all those people right outside the door. And he can't tell anyone about it. And then this equally unbelievable thing happens, and his old wife conceives a child. And in all these months and months of happy anticipation of this little baby boy, Zechariah can't say a word. He was rendered mute because of his doubt. And I can relate to that. Can you? We are living in this really fragile, painful time in our world right now. And there's so much tension and conflict all around us and within us. And it can be difficult to see how we're going to make our way forward into a future that feels safe for all and just for all and sustainable and peaceful. Right now, everything just seems so messy. And amidst the noise and the chaos and the anger and the discord and the disorder and the anxiety, we doubt. We doubt there really is a way forward towards peace and justice. We doubt that we can ever find our way back towards each other across this chasm, across this red-blue divide. We doubt we will ever even want to. And some of us are dealing with our own particular personal pain or pain in our families. And we may doubt that healing or reconciliation or new life is even possible. And so some of us have woken up to discover we've lost our words. Our doubt, our fear has silenced our hope. For 9 long months, Zechariah could not speak. And then the time came for Elizabeth to give birth, and she had a baby boy. And her neighbors and her friends heard about it, and they all rejoiced with her. And still, Zechariah couldn't speak. The baby was there, just as the angel had said. And Zechariah's words, they didn't come. Little baby boy, making all the little baby noises, his father holding him, unable to make a noise in response. Sometimes even joy does not undo the damage of our doubt. But after 8 days, it was time to name the child. And the family gathered around and wanted his name to be Zechariah, because baby boys were supposed to be named for their fathers. But Elizabeth said, no, his name is John. Who does a thing like that? The people asked. None of your relatives are named John. And they began motioning to Zechariah to find out what he thought the boy's name should be. And Zechariah got a writing tablet, and he wrote, his name is John. And all the people were amazed. And at that moment, only then, when Zechariah had finally given public witness to the reality that God had promised, the reality that Zechariah had doubted, only then was his mouth opened and his tongue freed. Luke tells us that Zechariah was then filled with the Holy Spirit and began prophesying, saying, "Blessed be the Lord God of Israel, for he has looked favorably on his people and redeemed them." And on his prophecy goes from there. You heard the words of it. Those words were shot through with allusions to the Old Testament, allusions to the Psalms and the prophets, and a promise after promise of salvation from hatred, rescue from danger, the freedom to love and to serve without fear in holiness and righteousness, the blessing of all the nations of the world, the light that will guide the feet of the people into the way of peace. And as he spoke this prophecy, it was a sign that the fulfillment of all these ancient promises, all the longings of all the centuries, the fulfillment had begun. Jesus wasn't even born yet, but the baby John was the sign. Words break through on a tongue that had been rendered silent. God's promised future breaks through into reality. And it sounds like a song. We call it the Song of Zechariah, or the Benedictus, the blessing. And in the Catholic and Anglican churches, it is sung every day as part of early morning prayers. Prayers that begin in the dark and go until daybreak. And doesn't it make sense that these are the words that the church through the centuries has sung in the dark, waiting for the light to dawn? In the 1970s, renowned pianist and composer Keith Jarrett began playing totally improvised solo concerts. He would walk out on stage, sit down at the piano, and without rehearsal or sheet music, would begin to play. In 1975, a 17-year-old German girl, Germany's youngest concert promoter at that time, persuaded the Cologne Opera House to host Keith Jarrett for one of these improvised concerts. It was to be the first ever jazz concert that opera house had ever seen. A few hours before the concert was to begin, Keith Jarrett stopped by just to meet the piano. And when he got there, he discovered that there had been a mistake. The piano that he had ordered, the concert grand piano, was not there. What was there on the stage was this little baby grand rehearsal piano in poor condition. The pedals didn't work properly. There were keys that were sticking. The upper registry was very thin and tinny. And the piano was too small to make a sound loud enough for such a big concert house. It was unplayable. And there was no time for the right piano to get delivered. So the teenage girl frantically worked to try to get the piano fixed. But all the tuning made it only marginally better. So Keith Jarrett refused to play. The only thing left for the girl to do was to just beg him not to cancel the concert. Jarrett saw the girl's desperation. He thought of the 1,400 people who were about to show up for the concert, and he looked at the girl and he said, "Never forget, only for you." And he went out on the stage. He and his producer recorded the concert that night because they wanted evidence of what a musical catastrophe sounds like. They wanted to be able to play this for future concert promoters to show them how important it is to have the right instrument. But as it turns out, a musical catastrophe is not what happened there that night. What happened that night in the Cologne Opera House was actually a masterpiece. All the adjustments that Jarrett had to make to cope with this broken down piano, the thin, tinny upper registers, the weak bass register, the small sound. This unplayable piano pushed him to make creative choices that he never would have made if he'd been sitting at the perfect instrument. It was a magical, luminous, irrepeatable performance, and the audience loved it. And for 40 years, that recording that his producer made has been the best-selling solo jazz album in history and the best-selling piano recording in history. Instead of walking away from the mess he'd been faced with, he embraced it and he made music out of it. He became, as he liked to say, a conduit of the Creator. And what came out was only beauty. Right now, our world seems like an unplayable piano. Our most basic instinct might be to turn away, or to turn inward, or to turn only towards those we already agree with and feel safe with. And all of that is just another way of falling silent in the face of a world that desperately needs to hear a song that is beautiful and true, a song of promise. And Zechariah reminds us that sometimes the promise doesn't really start to take hold until we can pronounce it, even out of our own doubt. Can we consent to the music, even when the instrument and the conditions are not perfect? God has raised up for us a mighty Savior, that we would be saved from hatred, that we might love without fear, that we might be led into the way of peace. This is our song. And it is time to sing it. We offer our lives as a song. We make the offerings that we have. One of the offerings I invite you to make is the connection cards in your bulletin. You may consider what next steps you yourself need to take in your personal life of faith. Whatever you have to bring, bring it with hope. Bring it with love. Let us give.
Oh,
Christ invites everyone to this table. We make ourselves ready by confessing our sins before God and one another. Let us pray. Most merciful God, we confess that we have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed, by what we have done and by what we have left undone. We have not loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. We are truly sorry, and we humbly repent. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on us and forgive us, that we may delight in your will and walk in your ways to the glory of your name. Amen. Hear the good news. Christ died for us while we were yet sinners. That proves God's love toward us. In the name of Jesus Christ, we are forgiven. Glory to God. Amen. Please stand. As forgiven and reconciled children of God, we offer one another signs of peace and reconciliation. The peace of Christ be with you. Let's pray together in the words Jesus taught us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. God brought all things into being and called them good. From the dust of the earth, God formed us in his image and breathed into us the breath of life. When we turned away and our love failed, God's love remained steadfast. God delivered us from captivity, made covenant to be our sovereign Lord, and spoke to us through the prophets, who looked for that day when justice shall roll down like waters and righteousness like an ever-flowing stream, when nation shall not lift up sword against nation, neither shall they learn war anymore. In love, God gave us his only Son, Jesus Christ, sent in the fullness of time to be a light to the nations. God scatters the proud in the imagination of their hearts and has mercy on those who fear him from generation to generation. God puts down the mighty from their thrones and exalts those of low degree. God fills the hungry with good things, and the rich he has sent empty away. God's own Son came among us as a servant to be Emmanuel, God's presence with us. He humbled himself in obedience to God's will and freely accepted death on a cross. By the baptism of his suffering, death, and resurrection, God gave birth to the church, delivered us from slavery to sin and death, and made with us a new covenant by water and by the Spirit. On the night in which he gave himself up for us, he took bread, and he broke it, and he blessed it, And he gave it to his disciples, and he said, "Take, eat. This is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." The body of Christ, the bread of heaven.
In the same way, after the meal, he took the cup. And when he had given thanks, he gave it to his disciples and said, "This is the new covenant in my blood poured out for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. Do this as often as you drink it, in remembrance of me."
Thank you.
the blood of Christ, the cup of salvation. Let's pray together. Now pour out your Holy Spirit on us who are gathered here. By your Spirit, make us one with Christ, one with each other, and one in ministry to all the world, until Christ comes in final victory and we feast at his heavenly banquet. Through your Son, Jesus Christ, with the Holy Spirit in your holy church, all honor and glory is yours, Almighty God, now and forever. Amen. Each year, December's Fellowship Fund offering is devoted to the retired ministers and missionaries offering, taken everywhere that American Baptists are, in support of people who have given their working years to the full-time service of the gospel among us, who are now in retirement. Sometimes this is not to a living minister, but to the spouse of one who has died. It's an important gift that we give together in gratitude for those who have served and in support of their ongoing needs. Let's give with special gratitude as we do so today. The offering plates are at the door. Will you stand now for our hymn of fellowship?